In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We do this broadcast live. I'm looking at the second letter of St. Peter. He writes, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I want you to remember. I want you to remember. I do not want you to forget. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." The last days started at the cross, and I'm going to tell you, if we've ever had scoffers, we have them today. Scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Didn't he promise that he would be coming again in glory? Where is that promise? He's not coming. You people are living a fairy tale. Where is his coming? He's not here." Yes, scoffers. "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since the apostles fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Let me tell you, he spoke the world into existence. The Father spoke the word. It's really Jesus, the Son of God. When he spoke, the world became what we have. The land, the oceans, the mountains. He spoke the world into existence. Let me tell you this too. He is not the maker of heaven and earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth, because God alone creates out of nothing. You see, we have carpenters that can build a house. We have bricklayers that can build a house. We have iron workers that can put a frame on a church. But you're making something out of something. God alone makes something out of nothing. We say in the creed, we believe in one God, or I believe in one God, maker of heaven and earth. I don't think that's right. He is not the maker. When you make something out of something else. He is the creator who makes something out of nothing. He speaks the word and it becomes what he speaks. "Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be birds flying above, and the birds came into existence." Out of his word, he speaks the word, and that which wasn't becomes. This is real. That's why the proclamation of the word is so important. Last night, we had the reading of the man who was crippled, and his friends lowered down the mat in front of Jesus. And Jesus forgave his sins and healed his body. It's wonderful to have friends like that, I'll tell you. I decided that during the homily we would call Michelle. Michelle is a young woman, a young mother who has cancer. And I decided, since the friends lowered this man before Jesus, that we were going to be the friends and we were going to lower Michelle before Jesus. And so we prayed for her healing last night. Instead of hearing a homily, we all came together. We called her on the phone and we prayed for her healing, that our Lord Jesus Christ would take his hand and heal this young woman completely. I tell you, we spoke the word in the name of Jesus by the power of his blood. Michelle, be healed of this cancer. We spoke the word in the name of Jesus by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Be healed of this cancer. God spoke the word and he created the earth out of his word. Hallelujah. Let me continue. For this they willingly are ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Sounds like Noah to me. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with the Lord as one day. So people are saying that Jesus isn't coming back again. You know, they were saying after the apostles died, where is Jesus? He promised to come back again. And they started laughing. But Peter says, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Let me tell you this. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it was how long? How long ago? You could say 2,000 years, and I can say 2 days. Because if 1,000 years is as one day, Jesus left 2 days ago, and he will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. We are experiencing Advent now. Advent is not only the preparation for the incarnation, that our Lord Jesus Christ became human in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was brought forth in Bethlehem. But Advent also prepares us for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We sing that ancient song, Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's sung in Aramaic. There are only 2 words in the New Testament that are in Aramaic, and that's Abba, which means daddy, papa, and Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Not come as a baby, not come as the crucified, but come in glory. Come in glory, Lord. Come as you have promised. It's only been 2 days, but we await your coming. We await your coming, Lord. We need you to come. But before you come, let there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never experienced. Before you come, let there be an outpouring of the glory of God that we've never experienced. Oh God, the world is so treacherous. People are so far from you. You are coming again in glory. But before you come, oh God, we pray revival. We pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. We pray that there would be the presence of God so thick that men, women, and children would come to believe, so that when you come, they would be ready to greet you, ready to meet you, that they would be filled with the praises of God. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. So be not ignorant that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, the delay of the Lord is not a delay on his part, but on our part, so that people would come to believe, that people would be changed in their heart, that they would have a change of heart. I tell you this, my friends, we are not ready for the coming of the Lord, because I'm going to tell you, if he came now, how many people would go to hell? How many people would go to hell? How many people would go to hell? That's why the gospel must be proclaimed. That's why the power of God is necessary. That's why the presence of God is necessary. We need the outpouring of the Spirit before he comes, so that men and women will be saved. People get saved not because I'm going to have a program. People get saved because the presence of God comes, because the Holy Spirit makes himself known to people. People get saved when the glory of God comes and they start breathing in that atmosphere of heaven. I prayed with a man the other day. This man had cancer of the rectum. And I'm just going to tell you, my friends, as I was praying with him, the Lord walked into the room. I did not see him, but I knew he was there. I know he's always there when I pray, but this was physical. I could feel him. I knew him to be there, and I knew what I needed to do was to shut my mouth and not pray another word. Allow God to do what he needed to do to this man. And you know what? When he went home, he called his sister and said he never had experienced so much peace in his whole life. And here's a man who has been told he's got fourth stage cancer, and God's presence comes upon him. It was not my words. It was the presence of God. And just yesterday, a woman came and we began to worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked into the room again. Oh, well, he was there sacramentally, but he was there with his presence. And she was, when she came in, she had no peace. And all of a sudden, she says to me, "Oh, I'm filled with peace." I tell you, Jesus is coming in glory. It's been 2 days since he left. But before he comes in glory, Father, hear my prayer. Pour out upon me, upon those who hear me, upon all your church, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pour out upon us, O God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are thirsty for your Spirit. We need that river of life that flows from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. We are in absolute need of that Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything without that Spirit. Before you come, O God, you must pour out your Spirit in an abundance like we've never experienced before. Why has the Lord waited? So that we would repent. So that you would repent. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Have your sins forgiven. Go to confession. I'm speaking to you. This is the time to repent. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. You are not God's impossible case. The Lord has a hope for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. The Lord has hope for you, not death. The Lord has hope for you. Not only crisis, but hope. You do not need to do anything rash. You do not need to take your life. God has hope for you. Jesus has not come back because of you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to know his love. He wants to take you when he comes. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance, that your heart would be changed. And your heart gets changed by the grace of the living God. My heart gets changed by the grace of the living God. But the day of the Lord, that's when he comes again, will come like a thief in the night. And when the thief comes in the night, he doesn't give you any warning. This is the time for us to come to Jesus. This is the time for us to gather at the cross. This is the time for us to receive forgiveness. Because when the Lord comes in glory, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And I know that there is no warning of any thief. I remember when I was at Sacred Heart in North Quincy, there was this man. He was I'd given him food, I'd given him money, I'd given him all this stuff, but in the middle of the night he came, and he was so quiet, he went into the pastor's room and robbed $200 in the middle of the night like a thief. No one knew. When I found out about it, I went to him and I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. I've given you food, I've given you money, I've given you lunch, I've done all these things for you, and you come like a thief in the middle of the night to rob the pastor. That's wrong. That's like biting the hand that feeds you." Never saw him again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Oh yes, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, that's the earth, with fervent heat, and the earth also. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of men ought we to be? And what should our conversation be? What we are looking for is a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, yes. A new heaven and a new earth. Oh, yes. When he comes, the heavens and the earth will be transformed. The fire of God will transform it. We await new heavens and a new earth. We await his coming. That's why our conversation, our life, must be without blame, without blemish, without spot, without sin, as we await Jesus' coming in glory. But before he comes, I'm going to say it again. Before he comes, we need an outpouring of the Spirit so that men and women will repent. So, Father, I'm praying today for that outpouring. I'm praying today for an outpouring of the Spirit that I've never experienced. I'm praying today that my heart would jump and rejoice at what you want to do and what you will do by your Spirit. I pray today that the Spirit of God might come upon your people, that those people that feel that they're so far off, that you would love them, that what we experienced in that chapel the last 2 days, that you would allow people to experience that peace, that stillness, that presence of God. Father, I come to you today asking that you would bless your people, that you would bless your people, that we would be ready for the coming of the Lord. We do not want to be scoffers. We do not want to walk after our own lusts. We want to remember that you promised Jesus. Jesus promised the apostles that he would come in glory. You want to remember that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We want to remember, Lord, that when you come, Lord, you are looking for people who are sold out to you. You are looking for people whose hearts have been broken. You are looking for people who are yielded vessels. Lord Jesus, send the Holy Spirit. Send the Holy Spirit. We know you're very patient. That's why you haven't come yet, because you're looking for more people to be gathered into the barns of the Lord. That's right. More people to be gathered into the Lord's barn. So, Lord, come. Come with your grace. Come with your glory. Come with your presence. Come and do anything, everything that only you can do by your Spirit, by your Spirit, by your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Today is the feast of Saint Nicholas. I told the people in WECE the story of Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas was a bishop, and in his diocese there was a man who could not pay his bills. And as a result of him not being able to pay his debt, his daughters were going to be sold into prostitution. But Nicholas, in the middle of the night, when he heard this, took the gold of the church and threw it on the porch or in the house where the man lived, and the man was able to pay the debt, and his daughters were not sold into sex slavery. And I said on WECE, I've never spoken about the slavery of sex before, but this is one of the biggest industries in the United States. This is one of the biggest industries in the United States, sex slavery. We need to pray against it. Boys and girls are being taken from other lands and even from our own in New York, in Boston, in Philadelphia, and being sold as sex objects. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the authorities might break up these rings, and that these children that have been violated, that you would restore their innocence through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask your forgiveness for the children that we allow to be killed at the abortion mills, and for the children we allow to be sold into sex trafficking. And we ask the prayers of my friend who died trying to stop this sex trafficking. We ask the prayers of this young man who was so holy that died 2 or 3 years ago. Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy upon your people. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I ask you today that you would pray the rosary, that people that are being trafficked for sex, that they would be set free, that those that are doing the trafficking would be caught. Please, this is one of the greatest industries in the United States, and it makes our children nothing but objects. It takes their innocence away. It makes them feel like a piece of gum underneath the shoe of the one who is trafficking. So I ask you to pray today for this very intention, that God would raise up people to free these children and give them a place where to go, where they can be rehabilitated by the blood of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God, because rehabilitation can only take place if their hearts get healed. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills, and the mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I'll say it again. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You know, if you want me to be on WFAX, I do need to hear from you. If you want me to be on in Arizona, I do need to hear from you. If you want me to be on in Michigan and in Syracuse, I do need to hear from you. If you want me to be on in the western part of the state and in Connecticut, I do need to hear from you. All the people who hear me in Boston every day, today, why don't you sit down and why don't you send me a donation so that we can pay our bills? We are now in December, which means we are paying our November bills. We haven't even got nearly enough to pay our November bills. So please help us as the Lord leads. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Next Wednesday, the 14th of December, I will be back at the Espousal Retreat House. Let the word be known. Next Wednesday, the 14th of December, I will be back at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30 p.m. Next Wednesday, the 14th of December, I will be back at the Espousal Retreat House. And it is raining today, which means if you've got a hole in your roof, don't stand under it because you'll get wet. Jimmy the roofer can repair your roof. He can repair it. Maybe you don't need a roof. You just need a repair. 617-519-0341. Jimmy the roofer, 617-519-0341. One more time, 617-519-0341. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory to God, our great Creator and Redeemer. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.